Welcome to Man Talk, a ministry sponsored by TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, where we're devoted to breaking down the walls of race and denomination and to point men to their God-assigned roles. Now here's your hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr.
Welcome back to Man Talk Radio. Will, it's so good to see you.
So good to see you too, Roy.
Well, it's been a long time since we've been face-to-face.
Yeah, you know, but God is good.
He is. Always is, always will be. Always has been. Will, what we thought we'd talk about today is a very interesting topic that on a book that was written about 62 years ago, I guess, somewhere around the 1960 range, called The Naked Communist. And within that book, there's 45 goals of communism and their approach to try to basically disrupt a country. If they get all these things moving, it basically puts the country in position for a potentially socialistic, communist-type environment. And so let's talk about those 45 goals.
Absolutely, Roy. And, you know, within the book, there's so many things that encompasses, you know, what this communist movement is all about. And so they have four premises within the book that Cleon Skousen, by the way, wrote. And when he talks about these things, he says, the first premise of communism is that everything is a product of accumulated accident. There's no design. There's no law. There is no God. There's only force and the force of nature. Force is right. So this is one of their premises in overtaking. In other words, the squeakiest wheel gets the loudest or gets the most attention.
Right.
So I think this is what we see when we saw this in, you know, 2020 and 2021, you know, during that time of escalation within the community. So these things are not far from us with the respect of how we as, you know, citizens of this country is viewing them, but also that within the church, we're having this point of tolerance that is really, it's overbearing, Roy. And I think if we don't look at some of the inner workings of what communist is, we can find ourselves indulging within the things that God wants us to
stay away from.
That's right, and put a stop to, ultimately.
Yeah, agreed, Will. And it's interesting when you say tolerance. I think everything's been moved forward as a result. You need to be tolerant. You need to be tolerant. Well, not everything needs to be in an area that we tolerate, right? Not everything should be that way. And we've moved away from right and wrong, as we've talked about many times on this program. And I think when people hear these 45 objectives, goals of the Communist Party, they're going to be quite surprised, to be honest, at how many of them, well, they're all now at this point, are all in play, have come to fruition in the United States.
Absolutely. And the first three, you know, Roy, they are sort of, we can sort of like group those three together when we talked about these 45 goals. But the first one says the U.S. should accept coexistence as the only alternative to atomic war. And of course, you know, when you're talking about coexisting, again, you're talking about tolerating certain things that you would not tolerate normally under certain conditions. So here you have a instance where you're saying, you know, if I'm going to coexist with someone or with another country, and I know that that country is, you know, not truthful when it comes to a lot of things that they have broken with respect to treaties or their word or what they, you know, say that they're going to do. These are the things you have to look for and examine before you even go into verbal discussions with a country. And then you're talking about taking away, you know, this coexistence, taking away or putting aside, you know, your weaponry that could defend the country in which we exist. That's a problem.
Yeah, well, depending on which side of the ball you play on, the strongest defense is a great offense, right? So, and for this particular case, our defensive posture means that we've got to be aggressive, more offensive in terms of moving to an offensive position to make sure we stay armed properly, we stay equipped, personnel is at the level it needs to be at. And that's what this happens, because if I can get you to coexist, Will, I don't have to, as a country, then I don't have to worry too much about you getting ahead of me or developing enough strength that I'm no longer a threat to you or any kind of concern to you.
Absolutely.
But that coexistence allows us to basically stay on an equal playing field. And as it relates to our Judeo-Christian values here in this country, that we know that is not correct.
Absolutely.
Right? So
absolutely.
That's really good, Will. And what about the next point?
Well, the next point says the U.S. should be willing to capitulate in preferences to engaging in atomic warfare. So again, you know, these first three are, we can group them together. But, you know, when you talk about capitulation, you're talking about really surrendering or giving in to certain points that a country who might be aggressive or who we know is not holding to certain treaties or agreements that are in place, you know, then we have to take all that into consideration. So
has this put us in a weaker position, think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Over time.
Absolutely. And because, again, you know, a country that's not armed and ready to defend itself, I think, is a weak country and just leave itself open, you know, to all kinds of aggression.
Well, we could almost say in today's time what we're looking at, Will, like the Ukrainian-Russian conflict, right? I would dare say that Ukraine was not prepared militarily to deal with what was getting ready to happen to them. So therefore, when Putin realized that, and then maybe some of this coexistence was going on because, you know, they had already taken Crimea, right? They'd already moved into Crimea, which happens to be my daughter's place of birth, and then nothing was done at Crimea. They just basically moved in, a little bit of battle, a little bit of fight, but it was nothing like what's going on today. And in that testing of the waters, Russia realized that all they had to do was go get what they wanted. At least they thought that's the way it was going to be. Now, Ukraine has done a good job getting support from other countries and fighting with what they have to deal with, and they've been pushing back some. But the reason they're in the position they're in today, I would say, is because they weren't in a strong position before all this started.
Absolutely, Roy. And you know, how can you coexist with a country or a nation who has a history? And I'm not speaking about any particular one right now, but how can you coexist even when you know within their history they have not held to certain agreements or broken certain treaties? You know, so you have a history of doing that. And so we know that people can change, but what about governmental policies,
right,
you know, within that country?
Right.
And if you make a governmental policy, you would think that that country would have to hold to that. But again, you know, things no longer is based on a handshake and a smile.
Right. Well, take, for instance, just what you said, Will. Look at what the Reagan administration had, the strength that he developed, Ronald Reagan, by arming up, strengthening our military position, our nuclear weapons arsenal, and being smart about it. You know, just, okay, these are things we need to do to make sure that we are safe and that we're not in a coexistence place. But today, we're in this mindset in our country, and you've heard it more than once, and is coexistence. And it's even a theme on many bumper stickers. You know, there's people say just coexist, you know, that, which means be tolerant of everything. And so, therefore, be tolerant of countries that are invading other countries. Be tolerant of people that are basically child slavery, child sex slavery, pornography. Be tolerant, coexist. Folks, there is a right and a wrong. We need to exercise that position that God has given us, that He's told us what's right in His Word, and He's told us what's wrong. And if we don't get it on that playing field, then it's going to be doomsday.
And that's the key, Roy, is to keep it biblically, looking at it through the lens of the Word of God and not, you know, someone's opinion, because all of us has opinions based on the information that we hear.
And we know what the Word is about opinions.
Yeah, yes, and we don't want to go into that, but I think our viewers and listeners can understand all that. When it comes to, you know, all of us attempting to coexist, you're always going to have a difference of these opinions.
True.
You know,
true.
And then one side, or depending with how many sides you got within the matter, someone is going to have to relinquish their position again to coexist
right.
with someone else. So, you know, when we go to number three here, and it talks about developing the illusion that a total disarmament in the U.S. would be a demonstration of moral strength. So, I have to laugh at that, too, because, again, if you have an illusion that you're demonstrating something that you're not, then, again, you put yourself in a weak position because, again, other countries are doing the same thing. They
sure.
say, we're going to do this. We're going to cut back our nuclear armament, and, you know, you do the same. But what about, you know, you having a what about you having secret stashes
mm-hmm.
or you're secretly continuing to manufacture while you're disarming and destroying those weapons that you agreed to some agreement or treaty that you're going to do?
Will, that's a great point. Let's talk about this real quick. If we think biblically, right, about when in the Old Testament, especially when, you know, the different battles were going on and the different wars, and where God basically commissioned his warriors to go do battle, right? He didn't do it through a conversation. He did it through battle. Right now, he's forewarned in many, many cases. They were forewarned, right, in much of these battles and much of these things that went on. But in order to show the sign of strength, what did God have to do? He had to take the warriors to the battlefield, right? Couldn't just sit back and say, hey, we're going to talk about this and we're going to coexist. You folks do what you want to do and we're going to let you coexist. That wasn't what God's position was. God said, there is a right way to do things, and you're not going to mock me, and you're not going to run from me, and you're not going to do the things to my people that you're doing, right? You can go throughout the whole Old Testament and even some in the New Testament with the relationships, right? So there has to be a position of taking a stand for right and wrong and not getting in this mess of an illusion for disarmament for our country that that's going to make us morally strong. It's not. You know, the moral strength of a country is not determined by its military presence. The moral strength of the country is determined by the heart of the country and the heart of the people.
Exactly, Roy. And, you know, when you bring that up and you talk about the battles, well, the reason why the Lord in the Old Testament had the Israelites go up against the people again and tell them not to intermingle with them is because they would turn their heart away from God. So that was the
that
was the primary reason. They would turn their heart away from God.
And what has this country done?
And it's turned their heart away from God. So mm-hmm. see, we see this unfolding.
Yes.
You know, over you know, decades and centuries now,
yes,
that people have done this. And of course, when you look at the second major premise of what the communist is attempting to do, they're and in the, again, this is in the book coming from the Naked Communist, they completely and have a reckless regard for human life is the most striking and single characteristic of materialism in action. So you know, no disregard. They have a disregard for life. And so when you see some of what we talked about in the first premise, again, it's all about going out and disrupt, you know, based on uprisings.
Right. We'll go back and repeat that last line in that second objective.
So it says the complete reckless disregard for human life is the most striking single characteristic of materialism in action.
Okay, so let's stop right there for a moment. The complete reckless disregard for life
mm-hmm.
is one of the major components. What have we done with abortion?
Absolutely.
Abortion, you know, we want to argue viability. We want to argue when it's actually life. We want to argue that it's okay. It's a woman's right. Well, it's the baby's right to have a life, not the woman's right to destroy it, right? We've talked about that many times on this program. But there, our country as a whole, when I say as a whole, we accepted this for 50-some years, right, with the Roe v. Wade. And luckily, a lot of people kept going back to battle against the Supreme Court, petitioning, doing the right-to-life marches every year. And God honored those efforts, but we still, as a country, basically have devalued life. And then not just in the abortion facet, Will. Think about the video game world of Halo and all these major, major violent videos where we're constantly seeing murders in real type situations that kids are losing value for life because they're in the middle of all this. They don't recognize that shooting somebody up or blowing somebody up, it does have consequences. And I think that's another piece that's gotten into our society is that, and we're seeing these shootings left and right from all ages. And I think a lot of it's due to the devaluing of life as a whole.
Absolutely, Roy. And that goes into this third major premise of what communism is attempting to do is they say there is no such thing as innate right or wrong. See, so there you go right there. See,
no such thing as
no such right. So see, again, there is no premise between what is right and what is wrong. So again, it's all relative.
Well, and relativity is where we're at, right? So there is no right and wrong. So we're right smack dab in the middle of that philosophy or concept, because everything in our society is right. Tell me one thing that's actually wrong anymore in terms of general public opinion.
And see, and again, we have to go back, you know, speaking from the biblical perspective, is God has already outlined these things
exactly
of what's right and wrong. So, you know, within that is what we view as right and wrong, but society as a whole has embraced the relative thinking to say that there is no right and wrong because what's right for you is right for you, and what's wrong for you is not, it could be right for me.
That's right. So basically, if it feels good, do it.
Absolutely.
If you're okay with it, you're okay to do it. You know, even the legal stuff, we've gotten tolerant of that.
Absolutely.
And so there is no right and wrong clarity anymore. And I think that's important for people to note. Folks, we're not in a perfect world. We never will be. We knew that from the time Adam and Eve broke the fellowship. But we as followers of Christ can do our best to live as perfect a life as we can based on God's guiding principles in the Bible.
Absolutely, Roy. And, you know, because he dwells within us, if we yield ourselves over to the Holy Spirit, then we know that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide
Amen.
Us and give us direction. Because that's what Romans 6:16 says, you know, to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you will be to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Mm. So it's either sin or it's righteousness.
Give them that scripture again, Will.
Romans 6:16. So
obedience to
God
does what?
You know, it produces righteousness.
Righteousness.
You know, because there is nothing right about us except for the one who dwells within us.
Amen, Will. Amen. You know, as we're coming up here on just a short few minutes to close this particular session now, a couple things we'd like to mention to you. When you hear this podcast, you'll be a few days before a major event at our facility in Kernersville, North Carolina, our host facility at the Crossing North Campus. We are honored and blessed to have one of the greatest authors of our time, Lee Strobel, as it relates to walking with Christ and what that means. He wrote the book Case for Christ, Case for Heaven, Case for Miracles, and also The Unexpected Journey. He'll be with us Friday, January 27th from 6:30 to 8:30, and Saturday, January 28th from 9 until 2:30. P.M. on Saturday. He'll be leaving a little bit before 2:30 due to travel schedules, but he'll be speaking three times over that day and a half period. Please come join us. Tickets are available on our website at www.talkum.com, and you can make your purchase there. $39 for the whole weekend, lunch included. We'd love to have you join us. If you're in the North Carolina area and listening to this podcast, come join us, or even in Virginia or Georgia. It's not a far drive to come hear someone of Lee's caliber. Will, why don't you close us out in prayer? Folks, we thank you so much. We're excited to be back with you on the air. We apologize. We had a little bit of a delay there in November, December, but God was working out some things for us and our team. We're excited to be back with you in 2023 and looking forward to what God's going to do.
Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given us today, and we just trust that within the podcast, someone's heart be touched, someone's mind be changed, because we know, God, that you are a God of change, and you can do this if we would only open up our mind, open up our heart to you. We thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for the listeners who are listening to the podcast now, Lord. We just ask in Jesus' name, God, that they continue to walk worthy of where they have been called. And Lord, for those who are contemplating about whether or not they need to come to you, Lord, we just ask that you soften that stony heart right now,
yes,
and
Lord,
bring them into the fold. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. And folks, real quick, as we close out, this is going to be a multi-part series. We'll pick up the next session on next week's podcast. Thank you so much. God bless. And we look forward to seeing you soon.
As we conclude today's show, TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, are building a community of men to be servant leaders in their home, communities, churches, and work environment. Check us out at our website for upcoming events and regular scheduled meetings. Don't forget to send us an email for topics that you would like us to visit in the future. Thank you for joining us today on Man Talk. Visit us at TAWCMM.com.